Good evening to everyone. It's such a wonderful, wonderful blessing to be here this evening with my brothers and sisters to study another portion of God's Word. So, as you know, we are in Acts chapter 11 this evening. Acts chapter 11. Peter reports to the church. Peter reports to the church. Quick question. How did the Jewish believers react to Peter when he returned to Jerusalem? Okay. Okay, it's good. That's good. Can someone read verses 1-3 for me? Yes, sir. All right. So the first thing I want to look at, it says, now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. When you hear that, what is your first initial thought in your mind? If you hear somebody say that the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word. So the brethren are in Sonoya also received the word. What is your reaction? The brothers, South Georgia received the word. What would be your initial reaction as one who is a believer of the word? What would be your initial reaction? Joy. Should be excited. You should have joy. You should be happy that the word of God is being spread. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. You think about it, the greatness of the work among the Gentiles, right, in Caesarea could not be kept hidden first and foremost, right? So now everyone knows, right? And there was no desire to hide it. But nevertheless, even though many Jewish Christians, those of the circumcision, would be confused and offended. It goes on, it says that you went in to the uncircumcised men and you ate with them. Why was this such a big deal? There's a violation of the old covenant. Yes. Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. He ready to spread it. He's ready to share what happened. Okay. That's a good point. I mean, that's what the building up of this is doing. Right. 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 And I believe honestly that they were confused, but the other part of that was they were offended. You understand? So they may not have understood it. There are many times where you've been in a situation where you didn't completely understand where another person is coming from, but if you didn't give them the opportunity to explain, you can become offended. You can put the cart before the horse and have a whole little attitude about something and not giving a person an opportunity to explain to you what it is that you're confused about or offended. And they didn't give him that opportunity because they had already made up in their minds what Keith was alluding to, and they were ready to attack. Go ahead, Keith. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Our minds will tell us stories, and people start to believe those stories. They're true, they have absolutely no value, they're not true at all. What we've worked up over this creates a lot of issues and tension. Churches today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead, Ethan. Right. Yeah. 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 You know, I was going to address that later, but I'll address it now. What really took me back was they were more concerned about what Peter did than what God was doing with the Gentiles. You know what I mean? Like when you think about that, you were so concerned about what I was doing, and you just missed what actually was happening, what was the most important thing that was going on. And it wasn't about what I did, it's about what God was doing through me and what we all should be doing and should be excited about. And that's just a wonderful point, right? So they go in and start and say, well, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. So the charges against Peter were simple, right? You who are supposed to be a faithful Jew are associating with the Gentiles. And you even had a common meal with them. And this offended these Christian Jews, so they contended with Peter. And so I just think that this reaction of the Christian Jews shows how significant the change that God initiated in Acts chapter 10, right? Because you can see the attitude that they're having now. So it's a beautiful thing that these things were being addressed and brought to the attention that it ain't just for you guys anymore. Some things are changing. We're mixing it up. And here's something else. What Keith was talking about is a really big issue, because most of the time when you look at it, it says the uncircumcised party, right? And the first thing that comes to my mind is factions. In fact, you know, because like in the church today, right? Even in government, there are factions. You got Republicans and Democrats, but we're all supposed to be under the same. You see what I'm saying? We're all supposed to be the Church of Christ, but you got the liberal church. You got the conservative church. You got the church of this and of that, and we do it this way, and y'all do it this way, and you have all these factions, and all these things begin to become issues, and most of the time, the issues that are going on in the church that cause problem are non-biblical issues. They make such a big deal out of stuff that even has nothing to do with the Bible. And most of those issues are things that has nothing to do with salvation, nothing to do with your attitude, when most of the time when they get upset with these things. Ruth? When you say differently, what are we talking about? So, were you finished? I'm sorry. So, with that being said, can somebody tell me? So, how did Peter react to this? Okay. Yeah, they got it. I don't want you to jump ahead, but you're right, because you're about to. But you're right. What? Don't say it, but say it. How about that? But yes, he did explain, and he did so by defending God's grace and his actions. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Go ahead, kid. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. Who got it? Phil. Faction. You know, and that's kind of why I said confused and offended, because you don't necessarily have to be stumping and, you know, have, you know, torches ready to go, and you know, in order to be offended or misunderstood, you know. And I think, like Clark alluded to and what you're saying, it was a lot more of a misunderstanding, but the offense came when they felt like these are things that you shouldn't be doing. That's against what we've taught and also what we're not accustomed to. And so can you explain to us what's going on? But nevertheless, I always like to look at it from both perspectives, because it could be either or. It could be an angry mob, or it could be someone who is open enough to receive what you have to say. But nevertheless, one of the most interesting things about it is we're still talking about Peter. And that goes to show you the power of God and how the word and spending time with him can transform. Because if he was the Peter, he could have just snapped out like he always do. And we can see growth in him based just on how he responds. He explains. Go ahead, Corey. right? Absolutely. All right. Can somebody read for me so we can catch some ground, 4 through 15? Peter is explaining it to them in order from the beginning. And he didn't flaunt his apostolic authority. Instead, he began with a humble recitation of what happened. It kind of indicates that Peter began at the beginning to explain everything precisely so it could be clear. And I think that it's a wonderful way of dealing, and like Keith said, meeting individuals where they are and dealing with them in the right manner. I want to look at verse 9. What God has made clean, do not call common. I think at first Peter thought God spoke. Let me say this first. What do you think he's talking about here? What is God talking about here? Just yes, ma'am. Come on. I didn't know you got some more. That was it. But yes, you're absolutely correct. That is correct. Right. It's not about animals. It's not about food. It has to do with people. And God has shown him that I shouldn't call anybody common or unclean. And so I just think that this is a wonderful point. And there is a sense in which I feel like he was really trying to drive the point home that there shouldn't be any distinctions or dividing the line between the two. Can somebody read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11? Just read it. Start with 11. And stop at 18. That's fine. So question, who are the far off? Who are the far off? Man, Gentiles, yes, us. Yes, that's who he's speaking of, right? If you go to Acts chapter 2 and look at verse 39, or start of 38, it says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So, again, you have to start saying to yourself, I got to remember who is the far off. Right? Because, you know, a lot of times a lot of people think that the gospel is just for them. Like my Christianity, what I believe, that's just for me. You do what you do. I do what I do, and I hold it to myself. But it was for everyone. He said it was for you, for your children, and those who were far off. And it's important that they remember and recognize the importance of this. It wasn't about division. It wasn't about factions. It was all about that. Another thing that I feel that is important is when he says we entered the man's house, I think this may have surprised the questioners because it may have seemed like, you know, it was an admission of guilt. But Peter was admitting entering the home of the Gentile because it was something prohibited by the Jewish custom and traditions. Though not by the law of Moses. And yet Peter was careful to add before he ever entered the man's house that an angel had been standing in the house. And if it was permitted for an angel of God to go into Cornelius' house, it must be permitted for me also. And so I just thought that was interesting, and I saw that. And then we go on, it says that the Holy Spirit fell upon them upon us at the beginning. What's significant about this? Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's good stuff. Anybody else? Anything? Nope. All right. Then the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it was in the beginning. I think this conclusion was important. I think it showed that God's stamp of approval was on this work towards the Gentiles. And Peter's point to the Christian Jews, those of the circumcision, it was clear that they could not withhold their acceptance when God has given his. And I think that's also a good, clear message for us.
do. It's for God to do. And so I just thought that was a big deal. Another thing that I was looking at that I thought was significant in verse 14, where he says, he will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all of your household. A lot of times, the people get confused with what actually saves. And what I mean is, a lot of individuals take the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and try to use that as that's what saves. Case in point, I know a donkey that spoke Hebrew. And how did that come about? Bell's donkey. Y'all remember? How did that come about? So that was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But was the donkey saved? Amen. No, he was not. So the manifestation of the Holy Spirit does not mean that you're saved. It is the message by which we will be saved. And I'm just giving that to you all as something, a little nugget that you can use when you're dealing with individuals who are confused about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and what it actually does, right? Because really, when it's all said and done, if you would please, somebody read for me Mark 6, you start with 17 and end at 20. Mark chapter 12. I think so. I think that's where I saw it. No, hold on. Start Mark 16, I think. Mark 16. That's where. 16. 17. Okay, yeah. Start with 16. Yep. Start with 16, yep.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned.
Keep going.
And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents.
So what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What did the Holy Spirit do? Amen. So you need the word, but the Holy Spirit confirms the word. It's the purpose of it. That was the purpose of the signs. That was the purpose of all these things. And a lot of people get so mixed up in that, they forget what truly saves. So I just thought that would be helpful for those of us that may be dealing. Because, you know, they talk about Holy Spirit baptism. It was once for the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and for the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And after that, that's that. Yes, sir.
Chapter 8, you have, I think it's 1 Peter,
Yeah. It's good. Maeve, go ahead.
Just to add a little bit to that, I've always thought to myself, I never remember anybody requesting to give the Holy Spirit with the exception of 5 years for me before.
Right.
I don't think it was something that anybody ever expected to get as a result of their belief.
All right. It's good. That's good. Anybody else? All right. Clark, this is where we was at, brother. So, as 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. So what is brought back to the remembrance? Again, just want to reiterate that. It says, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. What's the beginning? Yes. Right? So it fell on whom? So he's trying to get them to understand it's just as it fell on us, it fell on them. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, and he said, John baptizing with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Because when nobody telling you that you're not worthy of it, who came and questioned why you received it? You know, how dare us try, you know, and I think about us as individuals, how we, you know, it's for me, it ain't for you. Right. And that it's bringing back remembrance. Well, before you ever had it, then I had to give it to you. And even with that, you're still having difficulties understanding what needs to be done. So let alone having this attitude or this mindset that it's only for the Jews. If God says it's for whomever else, then that's that. I'm not going to stand in the way of that. And so when they heard these things, they fell silent. Oh, you're right. Oh, maybe we need to chill out. And then they glorify God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. What a wonderful way for that all to come together, right? To say, you know what? We agree. We was a little concerned. We was a little confused. We was a little offended. But now when you put it in those terms and express it and explain it in that matter, it makes all the sense in the world. And to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. And I just think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And then the church in Antioch, I would say this. That is pretty much the first who was I would say this. Who was mostly in the church in Antioch? Gentiles. How did that come about?
Because of the persecution, they were, you know, the Christians were scattering.
Yep.
And so the word was brought to Antioch.
Excuse me. To whom did the men from Cyprus and Cyrene preach the gospel in Antioch to? And they're also known as the...
It says you're the Jews.
Hellenists. Yes, the Hellenists. Yep. So when the Jerusalem church heard about this, who did they send to Antioch?
Say, somebody said Barnabas. Yes, Barnabas.
When I'm reading Greeks here, that's actually Hellenistic Jews.
Yes. What's the next one I had? Where did Barnabas go next? Why? Why did he seek after him? I'm just asking. I just want to know. But why? Why seek after Saul? I just thought I'd ask because maybe somebody would know. No? Okay. I'm asking just, I didn't know if somebody would know. Why seek out Saul? I'll go with that. Right, it makes sense to me now why they had, because at first I couldn't figure out why, but now I understand my reading, because you remember in that 3-year period that I told you about that he didn't go directly, that's when that relationship was developing between Barnabas and Saul, because I was trying to figure out how they did that. But in that 3-year span that most people don't know that that's what happened, they go right into it, that's when he had time to develop that personal relationship. So what was the new name for the believers that was first used in Antioch? Okay. I'm trying to get through just some questions so we can they let me know some of y'all reading. That's good.
Chris,
yes.
Just going back to I was trying to catch back up. So the question about Grecians versus Hellenists. So I have a note in one of my studies that said in the first of the chapter or the translation I'm reading, first of them in verse 20,
the Greek speaking Jews. Try to get through some questions because time is running out. What did Agabus prophesy? And when do you know when it was supposed to take place?
Claudius Caesar's reign.
Yes, sir. It was AD 44 to and 48. What did the disciples decide to do because of this prophecy?
Send the maid.
Yes, sir. It almost sounded like you said send a maid. That's what I was saying. All right, yeah. Send them aid. Absolutely. So with that being said, just to go in it, what was the significance of this event then? What could we learn from it, and what's the significance of it? Okay, that's what we can learn from it. And it showed us how we as the church are to distribute alms and benevolence when they are needed. And so I wanted to just throw that in there. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Be blessed. Be reading 12 for Sunday. And y'all be blessed.